Listen to this story from Blair Kamen in the Chicago Tribune. It was a couple of Sundays ago, and it was, of course, Blair Kamen-ish, brilliant and thoughtful and well-reported. The headline was, Vista Tower Tour Reveals Engineering Secrets That Hold Up Chicago's Latest Skyline Standout. He was on the 83rd floor of Chicago's then under construction Vista Tower. It still is under construction. He says the view there is to die for. He said it's going to remain empty, though, that 83rd floor of this new building going up next to the one we're in right now. It's going to remain empty, even though a unit there would likely sell for $10 million. The floor will be covered by a screen-like perimeter wall that lets Chicago's famous winds whip right through the space. This so-called blow-through floor, the first of its kind in Chicago, is expected to dramatically cut wind-induced sway. Lauren Lapka is now grabbing her tummy. Chandeliers in the condominiums above and below won't rattle. White caps won't appear in the toilets. Residents won't reach for motion sickness pills as they have in other tall buildings. This will be, Kamen says, Chicago's third tallest building. Think about our landscape now, right? You've got Hancock and Sears, or whatever they call them these days. You've got the Trump Tower. You've got Aon. This will be Chicago's third tallest building when it opens next year. Designed by Chicago star architect Jeannie Gang, it's also going to be the world's tallest building designed by a woman. You've probably heard that. It's got that wavy surface. It's 101 stories tall, 1,191 foot tall skyscraper. And this is fascinating. Kamen says six tanks tucked in the tower's top will hold more than 400,000 gallons of water. When the wind pushes the tower one way, the water will slosh in the opposite direction, joining the blow-through floor to counteract sway. I've got more details about it, but rather than me read Kamen, let's talk to somebody they quote in there, one of the designing engineers, a senior principal at Magnuson, and then I think it's Klemenek-Kirkle. David Fields joins us. David, you're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Likewise. What's the name of your firm? I'm struggling with that second one.
Sure. It's Magnuson Klemenek Associates.
Got it. Okay. And so then what is a senior principal? That's you. Are you an engineer by trade?
Yes, yes. So everyone here essentially is a structural engineer. So the folks designing it, which included a very large team from top to bottom, were trained structural engineers, and that's our role, working in this case closely with Jeannie Gang and her team to put together this super tall building.
Yeah. Listen, you don't need any advice from me. I'm a broadcaster by trade, but I'm worried about 400,000 gallons of water in a tank because I have a 2-gallon flush toilet and that leaks. The 400,000 up there just makes me nervous. Do you worry about stuff like that?
Well, you know, these are some of the highest quality buildings in the world, how they're built and put together. I mean, that's no doubt a lot of water, but the whole outside of this building, you have to think, is exposed to the elements on a daily basis. And, you know, the general contractor who built it, MEQ Construction, they're building it, so we're not worried.
I wonder, when somebody like Jeannie Gang draws up this building, does somebody tell her, yes, that can be done, or no, that can't be done? Do the engineers first say, here's the parameters, and then draw whatever you want? Or because otherwise, I could be an architect. I could design a loop-de-doop-de-whoop-de building, but maybe then someone would come along and go, yeah, it's a beautiful building. It can't be done. I mean, how does that work?
Well, you know, smart architects and smart teams, as Jeannie Gang and Studio Gang architects are, they know for extreme architecture in very tall buildings, you can't simply work alone. You have to bring in the experts early, and that's not just the structural trade, it's a lot of other trades, to devise the system and how it goes from the beginning. So, frankly, we've been working on the project over 10 years, first sketch concepts.
Really?
How could we make a building like this work? Yeah.
You call this extreme buildings?
Yeah, you know, there's many different definitions in the trade, but a building this height is in the super tall category, let's call it.
That's what makes it extreme, the height. I mean, the curse, because sometimes buildings, we have one downtown at Wolf Point, and it looks like it's going to fall over at any second now. And I'm sure that's just an optical illusion, or that the support and weight are in the center, and you've got this lopsided area, you think, oh, that's not going to go.
Right. So, yeah, that's 151 North Riverside, and yeah. You know, that one wasn't just done to make a flourish. That is cut in at the base to respond to rail yards,
right?
And that led to some pretty extreme engineering to make what you see. It looks like a teetering building, but is as safe as any big, boring square project in Chicago.
Not to be flip about it, but when you design a building like that, or the one that you're working on here, don't you worry that if we are wrong, or if something happens that we don't anticipate, it could be catastrophic? Will you just talk me off that mental ledge I'm on about this sort of thing?
Well, you know, we think about that every single day. You know, there's a lot of different professions with their highly important decision-making process. But for us, you know, we think about life safety and the population and the occupants of the building. And, you know, that's at the forefront of our mind. It's not just creating architectural expression. It's the safety for the occupants. It's many factors, but that's at the forefront.
Well, will this Vista building still sway? Is that the biggest concern when you're doing a super tall building, is the sway?
That's right. In Chicago's windy environment, you look at many of the very tall buildings out there, 400, 500, 600 feet, and they're a big sail. The wind blows on it, and they want to lean, and when we design those projects, the structure primarily is making them strong enough so that they're not falling over, obviously. Now, when we get up three times as tall with Vista Tower, there's other things that layer on top of it, right? So it's the sway that you've referred to, and it's, you know, it's maybe counterintuitive, but let's say out of the clouds, the hand of God grabbed the top of a building and pulled it several feet to the side and let go. It's going to sway back and forth with its own natural rhythm.
Boing, 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 like that.
Right. More like every 6, 7, 8 seconds. It takes a while for a very tall building to sway back and forth. But those are the motions that can make people feel uncomfortable. Even though it can still be very safe, people don't like to be in those spaces during a big storm. So things like the blow-through floor and the water sloshing dampers, those are put in to slow down how it sways, damp out how it moves, so people can still be laying in bed reading a book, even in a big storm, and not feel like they're in an unsafe condition.
Even if it were swaying, they would be safe. They wouldn't like that. So you have to not only make it safe, but you have to make it comfortable. Do you do something like this? You say, okay, we're 100 stories tall, we're 1,100 feet in the air. Here's the span of the thing. How much force would a 100-mile-an-hour wind put on that? And then what would that do to the steel and concrete at the bottom? And would we worry that something would buckle as a result? I mean, do you have a formula or a computer that figures all of that stuff out?
Yeah, many, many things, including what you talk about. We have computer models. We have our engineers doing hand calculations to verify our computer models. We have other experts who do wind tunnel tests, and they build a scale model of the building. They actually physically blow wind across it in a tunnel and measure how it responds, and that informs our design. And what you're getting at is exactly what we spend years doing before it gets built.
And I wonder, too, Elif says we need to take a break. The number is 312-981-7200. One of the engineers on this beautiful Genie Gang building, it's called the Vista Tower, and it's like a stone's throw from where we broadcast on the Chicago River downtown. David Fields is on a phone line. Let's pause here. We'll continue the conversation in a second. You may have a question or comment, too, or maybe some advice, because I'm sure David would like us to tell him how to do his job. 312-981-7200. This is WGN. We're talking to one of the principal engineers in the Vista, the beautiful Vista Tower, the beautiful new building next to ours, essentially, here at WGN Radio on the south side of the Chicago River, very near Lake Michigan. The wavy front and surface of it, it's all the way around, is a sort of nice representation of the water and the waves all around us in Chicago. So David Fields is just answering a few questions about how that building happens. By the way, David, you said that you folks were working on this for 10 years, right?
That's right. You know, early days, it's sitting in a room with some thick markers, drawing ideas to, you know, progress, jump ahead quite a ways, and it's computer models and getting down to the final details.
I wonder how radically different it is now versus what the original idea was, or were there some ideas that came up in that process and you said, yeah, that's cool, but we can't do that?
Yeah, there weren't too many can't do it. It was more bold ideas are on the table. Everyone discusses what it would take, and then it kind of organically coalesces into a vision that is not exactly where it started, but the concepts and the goals is where it started. You know, I'll point out one that we haven't discussed here today. It's a very tall building. Naturally, the eye looks up in the sky, you see the waves, and you see the alternating rhythms of the skin. But actually, the ground plane was very important to the design. It's when you look at it, you see kind of three primary towers merged together. When you look closer at Wacker Drive, the middle of the three, it's a bit of a portal. And it's intentionally, we kept the structure out of that area, and architecturally they opened up a great number of things. The new Riverwalk and Upper Wacker, the connection actually goes through the building into Lakeshore East neighborhood and further to Millennium Park. That was a important piece of this, the vision for the project that Jeannie Gang had, that when you walk out there today, look up and enjoy the building, but when it's done and you can walk through it and get close to the building, that's something else I'd ask people to pay attention to.
Yeah, no kidding. And the sort of thing that might make a layman nervous, like, oh, you need way more stuff, dude.
Yep.
It's fascinating. And by the way, so will the old Sears Tower be the tallest building? And then is this going to be second? Or can you give me the hierarchy of building heights in Chicago when this thing's done?
Sure. So there's lots of technical definitions that juries and groups put official listings online. And so at the end of the day, through those organizations, this will be the third. And, you know, it's very sensitive to who sticks a big spire on top of their building, right? There's a great number that have them in Chicago. This one does not. This one has a narrow top, but it's the top of the building. So it will be 1,190 feet. It will be number three. But I believe, you know, that's, of course, Willis Sears number one. I believe without the spire on Trump Tower, Vista has the highest occupied floor or the highest occupied residential floor. So it's kind of right in that part of the skyline.
It said in Blair Kamen's piece, the first 11 floors will contain a hotel. Then there'll be 396 condos on floors 13 through 93. And they also mentioned this one floor, which sounds pretty awesome. It says here, the roof of Vista's middle tier doubles as an 8,000-square-foot outdoor deck for a 71st-floor penthouse in the building's top tier. It'll be outfitted with an infinity pool and all that fancy stuff. Will there be a restaurant or a public space outside of the hotel that the rest of us could use this building?
You know, I can't speak too specifically to all of the hotel uses. You know, it is obviously there's dining spaces, and whether those are strictly reserved for the hotel occupants or outside folks can come in, I couldn't honestly tell you.
Yeah, I would love it if there was a rooftop lounge, bar, restaurant on the very top of this sucker, or would it be too windy up there? That wouldn't make any sense.
You know, it would be. That's the sort of space that when it's built on a building, it is done with operable windows and roofs so that you can really enjoy it when the weather's right, and you can close it up and still see the view when the weather's wrong. Those tend to be somewhat rare simply because of the occupant load of getting people up and down with extra elevators and perhaps extra stairs for fire exit tends to make them not so popular.
Mary Ellen had a question. Hey, Mary Ellen, we're almost out of time, but real quick, you had a question that may be on some people's minds. What was it?
Oh, I think it's so interesting, all the unique aspects of this building, but I was wondering, are they taking into account, you know, the glass being so reflective causing a lot of injury to the birds? Have they made any changes to the exterior concerning that?
What about that, David?
You know, not something I've been real close to, but from sitting in rooms and hearing people discuss it, my understanding is that was directly considered, and the reflectivity is far less than other buildings when you look around the city. For that reason, and as well as some other reasons. I think Blair's article addressed that to some degree. You know, the skin of the building is interesting, that as the tiers, or we call them frustums, slope in and out on the tower, the glass color modulates, and that's for some intentional purposes, so that the bigger floor plates with deeper units get more light in them, and the smaller floors with shallower units don't pick up as much heat during the summer.
When I've been in some of those interiors and some of the tall buildings like that, they're lovely and they're cool, but they get hot. Do you know what I mean? And is that are you all able to mitigate that? Does this less reflective window surface help that?
Yeah, I mean, the selection of the glass on the building is as much as anything, probably certainly more than anything. It has to do with controlling how much heat, how much cold gets exchanged from the outside to the inside. But of course, that's just one component of it. You know, what is the heating unit? What's the air conditioning unit? How that functions? It all works hand in hand. And, you know, a building that will be effectively open for business in 2020 is, you know, it will have the state of the art in terms of occupant comfort and heating and cooling.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Mary Ellen. I wish we had more time. And, you know, maybe you're not in Chicago right now, David, but when you come through town, grab me. I'm just across the way, and give me a tour of what you got there when you got it, okay?
Absolutely will, John.
I appreciate your time today. Congratulations, and good luck to the entire team.
All right. Thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's David Fields. He's one of the principal engineers on Jeanne Gang's Vista Tower.